I'm Erin, alcoholic.
Yeah.
I'm so grateful to be here tonight. I think I've met like 5 other Erins in here, which is very rare. It's very exciting. I want to thank my friend Cheryl. She's our speaker tonight, and I drove with her, and I've known her my entire sobriety. My sobriety date is August 12, 2015, so I have 10 years of sobriety, which is absolutely miraculous. Like, it was the last thing I wanted to do, the last thing I needed to do, and it has absolutely changed my life for the better. It's grown me, it's made me who I am, and I'm becoming a better woman because of it. My life is better because of it. And so welcome to all of those who raise their hand. You know, my hope is that you'll stay, keep coming to these meetings, grab a sponsor, grab, you know, a good friend that you can hang out with, and just trudge the road together. This is just the biggest gift of my life. You know, just to give you kind of my history, I grew up in the Valley. I'm a Valley girl. And, you know, I came from a long lineage of Irish Catholic alcoholics. So much alcohol in the family. My grandma was a devout Catholic. She wanted to become a nun, and then she had 5 kids, so that went out the window. And she worked at the church. And, you know, and I loved our church. Our priests were really, really nice, but they were all drinkers, too. And they would go out on their lunch breaks and drink. And it was like my whole life was just this, you know, it was very loving, but there was constant chaos with alcohol involved. And I swore I would not become that. You know, while there was a lot of love, there was also, you know, kind of a lot of loss for me. My mom, she was severely disabled and, you know, mostly blind, and she couldn't really be a mom. So my grandmother, you know, stepped in, and my grandparents helped raise me, which I'm so grateful for. And, you know, they put me through private school, and, you know, I'm grateful for my education and, you know, that upbringing. And at the same time, you know, our life was very unconventional. We didn't have a lot of money. We didn't quite fit the mold like, you know, the other people at school did. So I always kind of felt like I was on the outside. And not only that, like, I really believe, you know, I was born an alcoholic. I have been restless, irritable, and discontented from, you know, the time I could walk. And so I always felt like I was on the outside, and I just kind of, you know, grew up feeling just awkward. I mean, I'm still awkward, which is fine, but, like, you know, but I was just always wanting to be part of, and I didn't really find that feeling until I was in high school, and I drank, and even though I swore I wasn't going to do it, when I did, I felt like I belonged. And those, you know, and girls can be catty in high school, and it's like all that went out the window. I just felt so connected. I didn't care what you thought of me. You know, I felt just free, and, you know, for me, that was like the answer I was searching for, and it stayed my answer until it became the ultimate problem that was killing me. So I managed to get through. I did some college, and I got a job in my early 20s, and unfortunately, they would drink, you know, Irish coffees for breakfast, and then we'd go out to lunch and have, you know, margaritas, and then afterwards, we would have, like, an after party, and everybody would go home because they were, you know, like, functional, but I would go to the liquor store or 7-Eleven and get more alcohol and drink. And, you know, I got to the point where I ended up in the hospital a few times. I almost lost my job. I really was becoming kind of the shell of this person. And I would not admit that I was an alcoholic. I did not want to do that. That's what I swore I would not be. And, you know, I finally ended up in the hospital. They introduced me to AA, and I think I was 22, 23 at the time. And so I finally saw that I had a problem, and I hated admitting it, but I really got it. Like, they, you know, introduced AA, and I started to love AA, but unfortunately I was young, and I don't think I was ready. And so I would do AA for the social aspect, and I didn't really work the program. And I got married when I was 25, and my husband knew me for a while, so he knew that I had a problem. He is a normie. I got married, and I'm like, honey, I think I could drink again. You know, life is really good. And he's like, oh, God, please, no. You know, but I did. It's like I had to burn my own life down. And, you know, fortunately, it lasted a while. I had a baby, and, you know, everything was okay. But we went through some real hardships in, you know, my mid-30s. I'm just kind of skipping ahead here. And that's when it became a problem again. It's like, once a pickle, always a pickle. And it took me all of that to see that I really was an alcoholic and admit that. And You know, I made a huge mess in my life. There was drinking, you know, I know this is AA, but there was a lot of, you know, a lot of pills. And I think doctors are much stricter now, but back then it's like, well, at least my doctor would hand out things like candy. And that was like my downfall. And, you know, I mean, stupid things, like my husband would find bottles of wine in the hamper. I mean, it was just like so classic. But unfortunately, like I became so mentally distraught, and I caused so much drama, and I didn't realize that I had such a living problem. And I hear that, you know, a lot in AA. Like it took me some time in sobriety and really going through the steps and cleaning up my life to see that, wow, I really was the problem. Like before, everything was everybody else's fault. I was the ultimate victim. I was causing drama wherever I went, and my husband almost lost his job because of me. And, you know, and the sad thing was, we had this boy, you know, my son, who's now 18 and like the apple of my eye. He was, I think, 6 or 7 at the time. And I had to leave. They had to drag me off to rehab. I didn't even get to say goodbye to him. And, you know, my mom, I didn't talk a lot about her, but she couldn't fully parent me because she was sick and she was blind. But she also was an alcoholic and a pill popper, and she was just emotionally absent for the times that I did see her. And I swore that was my biggest goal in life. If I was to become a mom, I would not be that to my child. And here I was doing the same thing. And so when they got me to that rehab, I sat down on the bed and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is what my life has become. And like, you talk about that moment of clarity, that was my moment of clarity. Like, the reality of my life just hit me, and it was right in front of my eyes, and I never forget that. Almost every time I go to a meeting now, I remember that moment, and I'm so grateful for that memory. It sticks with me. And, you know, I did rehab for a month, and there was just nobody that I related to. Everybody was younger than me, except for my roommate, who was my age. And she said, you know, you need to meet my sponsor. And my sponsor now, her sponsor still, lived 10 minutes from where I lived. So as soon as I got out of rehab, and by the way, while I was in rehab, I have to say, H and I totally saved my life. You know, for any of you that want to serve, you know, and give back and be part of the program, H and I is like the best way to do it. That's panels, going to different hospitals and institutions and bringing the message. And I loved hearing what they had to say. You know, this big book, I had like such an aversion to it beforehand, but when I was ready, like I couldn't put it down. I had a temporary sponsor. Like everything when I was in rehab, like all I wanted to do was just soak up AA and like really start building a life for myself. And I have not stopped that. For 10 years, I have not stopped that. I met with my sponsor, and she's been my sponsor now for 10 years. And you know, she's been just such an amazing example. And she got me involved right away. Like, we do the Pacific group out in the San Fernando Valley, and it's very, very involved. Okay, thank you. You know, the biggest thing for me was getting a commitment, because I know if I didn't have a commitment, I would not go to the meeting, and the more I stay away from my meetings, the more I would be apt to drink. That's just how my mind works. I need to keep coming back. I need to build relationships. You know, Cheryl and I were talking about, you know, the friendships that we have, and it's like, it's friendships unlike any other in life, because you can just be so real about what's happening in your life, and it grows you. And, you know, I have been able to make amends for the things that I did wrong. And I firmly believe, like, this has raised me to be a woman, you know, still being raised to be a better woman. But I am so much better than I was, you know, 10 years ago. And I've made amends, and my son is doing amazing. My son has a mom that he can depend on. My husband doesn't have a wife that, you know, he's so concerned about, like, you know, am I going to have to institutionalize her again? Like, life is just so much better. And it's not, life is life. It's not always easy. You know, I do have an uncle right now who's going through, he's got alcoholic hepatitis. And, you know, that just popped up. And we don't know if he's going to survive or not. And you know what? I get to be the sane one in my family. And I get to go visit him and just be an example and say, you know, if you can get through this, there's a meeting that I want to take you to. And, you know, that is my life now. It's much more peaceful. It's joyful. It's not perfect, but it is so much better. And so for those that raise their hand as new, you know, my hope is that you just keep coming back, grab onto some people here. Your life will be so much better. So thank you.